This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for joining us here on Mindful Medicine. It is the podcast hoping to open your mind. Today, we're going a little lighter. I've got a wonderful author. And since Mindful Medicine drops every Tuesday on iTunes, there's a book out there called Just a Normal Tuesday. And the author here I have, Kim Teresi. She is a graduate of Florida State University. She began her career in film and television, and after a year of on-set production, like, you know, things getting coffee, wrangling actors, and taking lunch orders, she segued into the development side of the business, first working as a development executive at Columbia TriStar, and eventually shepherding many projects in family entertainment for Disney, Viacom, and Hallmark. She also created and wrote an online web series for which she won a Daytime Emmy. And here's what we're here to talk about. Her debut young adult novel, Just a Normal Tuesday, it's basically loosely based on her own experience. The novel basically follows a 16-year-old girl as she struggles through the emotional aftermath of her sister's suicide. And this young lady in the book spends a month at a grief camp, discovering a roadmap to piece her broken heart back together. Kim, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so your book's been out for quite a while, and you've been on tour with it. How's it going? How's this experience been for your debut novel?
God, I think it's been everything that I wanted it to be. It's a little bit terrifying, but I've met some wonderful people, and particularly teenagers who are struggling, and that's really been it was sort of what I wanted to have happen. And so it did. And so I've had a great, great, great time. And mostly meeting people has been fun.
Yeah, and being inspirational, because I think the culture of these times, of these days, I know that young people are struggling, as I think sometimes we all are as a human race right now. But what drew you specifically to write in that young adult genre?
You know what? I love teenagers. I think they're so complex, and I think they're so smart. And I wanted to tell this story in particular for just those reasons. I think we're in a very dark time, and just statistically, teen suicide is on the rise. It's the second leading cause of death in teens here and in Canada. And our young people are really, really in trouble, and I think we have to address that.
Yeah.
It's super important.
Yeah, I think anything that addresses that is important and so needed at these times. I mean, I think there's a couple TV programs that I know are on right now that are addressing this issue. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure you probably, I don't know about you, but I would assume for me, boy, as a teenager, growing up, being bewildered about certain things in my life, being confused, I know that I would have loved to have some of the guidance and some of the things like Just a Normal Tuesday out there to be able to see myself in, to be able to have, you know, another person's story kind of relate. I can relate to it. It would make all the difference in the world. So why suicide? What led you to write on that topic?
It happened to me when I was a teenager. My older sister committed suicide, and to your point, I would have loved to have seen myself in a book, because as a teenager, you know, your emotions are already all over the place, and everything is magnified, and you're like, if you don't get the right dress or the right date for an event at school, it's like the end of the world, and so when something catastrophic like this happens, no one really can relate to it, you don't know who to talk to, and this is what I talk to kids about all the time. When you're having these feelings, you're normal, you know, because I didn't feel like I was normal because I was lashing out and, you know, you don't feel normal and kids are afraid to talk. And I think that, you know, everything should be on the table. Communication is key. And with the kids who do survive a terrible experience or wanting to perhaps take their life, when they think about it and talk about it, and don't act on like immediacy, like the social media, which is right now, right now, right now, right now. I think a lot of lives can be saved, and I think they're saved every day by people who open their hearts and their minds up to allow kids to have a catastrophe, because practically everything is a disaster when you're a teenager.
Yeah, and you're right, you know, with social media these days, and the, I would say, the courage that people get behind the screen, the cyberbullying, I'm sure it's called, but it's unbelievable to me. And to have that element, I had a young girl, she's 12 years old, in my practice yesterday, and it was kind of odd because she could hardly put down her phone to actually help her mom in giving her history. She was there for really a sort of, you know, kind of behavioral acting out. Her mom was really concerned about maybe a nutritional aspect of that, or, maybe food sensitivities, neurotransmitter stuff. And I was just trying to wrap my mind around all of it. But she was very, very focused on that phone and very attached to what was coming in and what she was actually, you know, pushing back out. And it was distracting, and I felt like she just wasn't there.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting because I was just at a high school, and the teens that came to meet a bunch of us authors, none of them had their phones out. And we talked a little bit about that because I'm on social media. I support social media, but I do see things on social media, particularly the cyberbullying, is just, oh my, it's the worst. And there was girlfriend of this young boy who cyberbullied him into killing himself just like 3 weeks ago. And I think, you know, it's very difficult to have a conversation when somebody's on their phone all the time. Well, I have a rule at my house. We don't even have the phone out, like, you know, at the dinner table, at anywhere where there can be conversation. And I think, you know, when I'm with my nieces and nephews, their parents are very big on that. We're together as a family. No phones unless we're taking pictures. And you actually have to talk. Oh, imagine that, you know?
Right.
Honestly, you know what it's like when you're out to dinner with friends and there's one friend that's got that phone out. You want to throw it out the window.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, when you don't have that eyeball to eyeball, I think you start to lose humanity. And that's another reason I write for young adults. I think, you know, I love the genre. I read it. And I think it's really important. They're at a stage in their life where things are important. And that's why I chose a tough topic. I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I want kids especially not to be afraid. And for parents to know that if their kids are talking about it, you need to pay attention and pay attention to the signs, especially these kids that are bullied, that don't feel like they have a way out. They're 12 years old and they hang themselves. It's just, sometimes I look at the media and I can't believe what's happening.
Yeah. And you think that maybe if there was more of a connection, like a human connection, not that so connected that, via social media, if there was more contact, if there was more of that connection, perhaps that action wouldn't have been so narrowly chosen, and that there could have been more options for that person. Now, listen, I've got so much more to talk to you about, and I'm going to come right back. But first, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, Organifi. All right, here's the deal. We all know to truly thrive in all areas of your life, cannot ignore the importance of good health. It is foundational. And I've learned this firsthand so many times, and I get to spread the word with my patients. And for many of us, let me tell you, time is one of our most valuable assets. And this is why I love Organifi Green Juice. It is an organic superfood green juice powder that you simply add to water, and you get to get your greens on anytime and anywhere. And when you invest in your health, gain more time because you have more energy and you get to focus throughout the day. And the best thing about this Organifi green juice powder is that, believe it or not, it actually tastes amazing. And I want you to try it. So go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. Use the code MINDFUL and you're going to receive 20% off your order. Saving time, I think saving money, and getting your health on. All right, Kim, so you had mentioned your older sister killed herself. How old were you when that happened?
15.
And she was how old?
She was 7 years older than me.
Wow. So how how much of yourself then went into this book?
I would say there were a lot was fact and what had happened, and then I fictionalized enough of it because I didn't want to write a memoir. This, my life's not that interesting. And I thought, you have to be able to, hook teens in. And one of the things that my editor said, the most important thing here is to keep the pages turning for teenagers. Like, I didn't go to grief camp. In my arrogance as a writer, I thought that I was inventing grief camp, only to be told by somebody I pitched the story to that they volunteered at a grief camp. And I thought, gosh. What a novel idea. But, I didn't know that they existed, and they're wonderful, wonderful places for kids, and they have them for kids that are 5 and 6 years old.
Oh, that's incredible. And, I heard this saying the other day, you know what you know and you know what you don't, and you don't know what you don't know. And I love when I don't know things and I learn them, because I'd never, yeah. I mean, I've heard of camps. I've heard of all sorts of camps, fit camp and tennis camp and fat camp and all sorts of camps, but I've never heard of a grief camp. And what a wonderful place. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought about when I was thinking about like how to get out of the despair of the actual suicide and the aftermath of it. Like what would be something that would be appealing to a teenager, and certainly not going to counseling with your mom and dad. I think there's very few teens that want to talk about it. And I think, when you go to a grief camp, it's like they fake you into talking about your feelings because you're around other teens, and they use music and things that are really like part of the fabric of who teens are. And they use that to help them channel their grief and their feelings. And it's just brilliant. And in writing it, I was able to go to grief camp as an adult.
That's great. That's probably, that's such a self-soothing, self-therapeutic process, I'm sure, in writing that book. Yeah, I can almost imagine. So what actually inspires you when you write? What gets you going to actually put pen to paper? I mean, I know you've had a very illustrious career, and congratulations on this debut novel. I'm sure that we're going to hear more from you, but what is it that inspires you when you write?
I'll tell you, I know this is going to sound a little bit cliche. Other writers inspire me. People inspire me. Everybody that I meet ends up somewhere in my story. And when I go to start to write something, I journal a lot of things because my mind goes 100 miles a minute like every other writer. And I'll go down to the beach or any body of water to collect my thoughts to figure out how to put an idea in motion. So I'm inspired by words. I'm inspired by nature. And just mostly people. I love people, and I love to meet new people. And when I do, when I hear their stories, I'm often inspired to go off and create something.
That's great. And I'm thinking about your book. I haven't read it yet. I'll have to be completely transparent about that. But I'm going to, because I feel like things like this, sometimes adults, like if I think about parents of folks, of young adults that have been affected by suicide and some of the darker things that are happening in our world right now, I think sometimes their own emotional development has been stunted. And so they just simply don't have the capacity to parent in a way that is contained for a child that has gone through a trauma. And so I think this could stretch over into self-help and many other categories,
it's very true. And I've had some parents say that to me because they said, how were your parents? And I said, well, we didn't talk about it. You don't talk about it. And there's such a stigma associated with it. There's a part in my book where I have the parents are arguing about, the mother doesn't want suicide to be on the death certificate. And, the sister's like, well, that's what happened, and it's a very hard thing to wrap your head around. And I've had adults that have read the book that have said, I didn't know how to talk to my kids about it. And I'm like, just talk.
That reality orientation, Yeah, and that's one of the things I think a book like this, And also, you know, the fact that you went through this and you were able to, as you said, go to grief camp in writing this, but at the same time, be such an inspiration for other people. I think when people go through things, they have, you know, they grow their container, they grow their tolerance for things like this that happen. And so it works out that you can touch so many other people and guide them. And I love that. You know, I got to ask you about this. In your bio, it says one of your favorite parts of writing, the process actually, is to create playlists for the characters. And that when you listen to them, when you're writing about the character, you listen to, can you tell me about that process? This is pretty fascinating.
I always say it's part of my writer crazy. Yeah, before I start to write anything, I get to know my characters. I know what they eat. I even know how they sleep in their bed, whether they have a foam pillow, a scrunchy pillow. I try to get in their heads, and I always, always have individual playlists. And then I have an overall playlist for the book. And like when I was writing this book, I knew that Kai would like, I call it angsty boy music. It's more alternative, Teens, Snow Patrol, you know, Linkin Park. I knew exactly what he would listen to. And I knew like that one of the boys would listen to country music. He's a, you know, lacrosse player. And I, you know, just sort of try to get into the heads of teens. And it really keeps you honest when you're writing dialogue, if that makes any sense. Like a kid that, you know, is listening to, you know, country music isn't necessarily going to be the kid that's going to use, like, any kind of urban slang. And I think there's a dangerous in young adults to use all the slang because you want to be cool, and it's not true to who your characters are. And so I find that music motivates me. I am a writer who always, always writes with music on. Always. I don't write in quiet. The thought of writing in quiet at a coffee shop makes my skin crawl.
Okay.
And it really does. Other writers are like, oh, my God, I can't believe that you have noise on. I said, yeah, but music moves me, so I always write to it. I can't imagine not. So I create these crazy playlists for my characters.
That's amazing. And then, yeah, as I mentioned that, you know, you often then will be in mismatched plaid and your desk riddled with junk food because you are into your characters. So what is, so Just a Normal Tuesday, Mindful Medicine listeners, it's a book about, for young adults, but I think that we can span that age group and include all of us just because of the sensitivity around suicide and that happening to a young person. And, you know, I always say, Kim, that I think sometimes if we feel better about ourselves, if we can, you know, be better, we can actually do better. And I think the world right now needs everybody to just having more connection, not connected social media wise, but more contact, more of that eyeballs. So we can talk about things that are difficult and so elephant in the room, true about so much that's going on today. But reading a book like this, it is fiction, not a memoir, but a lot of you is in it. But what is next for you?
You know, I'm actually working on something I can't talk about that's a work for hire that I'm super excited about. It's very different from this, which I needed a break from. Obviously, you can't write issue books all the time, but I have another issue book that's in the works and a series that's in the works. So I'm really excited about it. This book will sort of be, I'm happy this is my debut.
Yeah, that's great. All right, folks, you can tune in and know more about Kim at www.kimturisi.com, and that's KIMTURRISI. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining us here on Mindful Medicine, just hoping to open your mind, and certainly today about sensitive things that are happening to our teenagers, like suicide, cyberbullying, and more. But if we can be real, and what a great way to actually open up the dialogue and read a book and open up your mind. All right, until next time.